Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. One who is full loathes honey from the comb, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. Like a bird that flees its nest, is anyone who flees from home. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Do not forsake your friend or a friend of your family, and do not go to your relative's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbour nearby than a relative far away. Be wise, my son, and bring joy to my heart. Then I can answer anyone who treats me with contempt. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Take the garment of one who puts up security for a stranger, hold it in pledge if it is done for an outsider. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbour early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. A quarrelsome wife is like the dripping of a leaky roof in a rainstorm. Restraining her is like restraining the wind or grasping oil with the hand. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And now to John, chapter 15, verses 9-17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You will not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Amen.
We are continuing our series in the book of Proverbs today. And today, the theme we're going to look at is wisdom in friendship. So let's pray, and then we'll spend some time thinking about God's word and how his wisdom lands in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your infinite wisdom. And thank you that you have shared your wisdom with us. Please enable us to be wise listeners, and please lead us to Jesus Christ and to the wisdom that is found in him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've noticed that our local council has a new tagline. You might have seen some flags around the place that say, "George's River, the Connected Community." And that's a good aspiration, because we are a society longing for personal connection. We long for it because we seem to experience it less and less. According to a big data study done by the app Snapchat, the average person in India or Malaysia has about 6 close friends, whereas the average Aussie has only 3. 2 weeks ago, there was a report presented for the New South Wales Parliament on the prevalence and the causes and the impacts of loneliness in New South Wales. And this report notes how more than 1 in 4 Australians experience persistent loneliness. And this is a serious problem. Studies show that long-term loneliness affects your life expectancy about the same as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. And people who are lonely are 5 times more likely to have depression. You might remember that in the Bible, God created the world good, but the first thing that's described as not good is for the man to be alone. And so friendship is so important, but friendship's not always an easy thing, which is why it is so great that there's something like 27 proverbs in this book that give us wisdom about friendship. There are 4 different Hebrew words that get translated into English as friend in the book of Proverbs, but the 2 most common words are, first of all, there's a word that it means friend. It also kind of means neighbour. And then there's a word which means friend, but literally the word is loving one. And so in Proverbs, your neighbour is, it's not just the person who lives in the house next door. Your neighbours are all the people who come near you in daily life. The people at your work, at your uni, the people at the shops, the people at the gym are to some extent your neighbour, your friends. But then that other idea, that other word, the one who loves, tells us that there is a closer kind of friendship where you have a deeper affection for each other and a deeper trust in each other and a deeper involvement in each other's lives. And so we're going to look at both of these kinds of friendship this morning. I'm going to look at a number of verses that come from this second half of the book of Proverbs, and I want to cover this teaching under 3 headings. Why good friends are important, how to be a good friend, and what friendship should look like here in the church. Okay, why are good friends important? Well, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." I have a knife set in my kitchen, and this knife set came with a sharpener. The knife and the sharpener are both made of steel, of iron, but it's by rubbing them together that they both become most useful. And it's in doing things together with our friends that our thinking can become clearer, and our actions can become more focused, and our courage can be stronger, and our enjoyment can be greater. Our friends shape our approach to life. See, when we're kids, it's our family who has the most input into all of our views on things. But as we grow toward adulthood, we begin to figure out life more and more with our friends. And this is a good thing. As the American pastor Ray Ortland says, he says, "Our various family backgrounds left every one of us at least a little weird. And so we need an honest friend from outside the tightly knit family to round us out." Of course, that's the ideal. But Proverbs reminds us that the influence of friends can be good or can be bad. See, think about it. Iron can be sharpened in order to cut vegetables, or I guess iron can be sharpened in order to stab somebody. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 29 says, "A violent person entices their neighbor and leads them down a path that is not good." See, if you fall in with the wrong crowd of friends, they will influence you. They will influence how you think about life and what you're aiming for and what you fear. That's why when Jesus came, Jesus didn't only leave behind a set of teachings. Jesus established a community of friends who would live out his teachings together. And so here's a question: who are your most influential friends? I mean, we can have non-Christian friends, and later on I'll tell you why actually we should, but it's important that you have at least a few solid, God-fearing friends that you can figure out life together with. Okay, how can I be a good friend to others? Well, let's look at a few more proverbs, and these proverbs are going to show us the three R's of friendship. That is, good friends are respectful, real, and reliable. Respectful, real, and reliable. Proverbs 25:17 says, "Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, too much of you, and they will hate you." And remember one of the words for friend in this book is this word which in this verse gets translated neighbor. So you could say, "Seldom set foot in your friend's house." Now, you might think, oh, that's a bit of a funny way to try and explain what a good friend is, but what's it saying? Well, we all know what it's like to have a guest who overstays their welcome. You know, when it's getting late and you're yawning and you're trying to send hints. Oh, so do you have to get up in the morning? Oh, I do. Like, you don't want to be that guy. The American founding father, Benjamin Franklin, once said that guests are like fish. They stink after 3 days. See, the point is you want to respect your friend's boundaries. You want to think about your relationship from their point of view. You want them to want more of you, not less of you. You want to come closer, but you want to come closer at their invitation. And this is actually a really important skill to learn in friendship. Because you can actually want friendship so much that you kind of smother your new friend. And then they back off and you don't build this friendship that you're looking for. Actually, the best friends come when you find a common connection with someone. Yes, there's something you enjoy together. And from that point of connection, then you show kindness and affection and you invite each other closer, and so friendship grows. And you come together with something to give to that person, not just as someone in need. The Roman philosopher Seneca spoke words of wisdom when he said, "If you want to receive affection, then give it." Okay, so good friends are respectful. But out of that respect grows a trust between you that allows you to be real with each other. Proverbs 27, verse 6 says, "Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." So a good friend cares about you enough to say difficult things. Generally, we don't enjoy criticism, we don't enjoy correction, but sometimes we need it, at least I know I do. A good friend is willing to risk the friendship for the sake of the friend. Whereas an enemy is full of flattery, full of false compliments that might make you like them, but it doesn't actually help you. See, that the enemy needs you to like them for their benefit. It's interesting. Earlier this year, Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Facebook, he said that his company are working on AI chatbots that can be friends with humans. And he says this could be a solution to our loneliness problem. But the thing about AI is that it's designed to tell you what you want to hear. Actually, it sounds a bit more like the enemy than the true friend. And by the way, the word for friend here is that word, the loving one. Because it's people who love you, not just themselves, who will be willing to gently speak the truth to you. Okay, so respectful, real. The third R is that a good friend is reliable. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity." See, being needy is not a good way to make friends, but sooner or later, we're going to find ourselves in need. And that's when it becomes clear who our true friends are. A selfish friend disappears when the fun stops, but a good friend will stick by you whatever happens. And this proverb suggests that a good friend will love you in a way that resembles family relationships. In fact, sometimes friendship can be even stronger than family. Proverbs 18, verse 24 says, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." It's saying you could have 1,000 Instagram followers and it won't do you any good, but there is a friend. And again, the word for friend here is the word for the loving one. It's talking about a deep and unconditional friendship. And I wonder, what did Solomon have in his mind when he wrote, "There is a friend"? I mean, this is, okay, yes, this is an observation about deep, loving friendship in general. Friends can stick closer than family, but just the way he says it, it's interesting. A friend, it's almost like he's got a particular person in mind. And you know, in the Old Testament, that word, the one who loves, that word for friend, is used to describe the Lord God who loves his people unconditionally. And it, of course, it's the kind of friendship that Jesus spoke about in our New Testament reading. Remember John 15, verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." This is the deepest kind of friendship. So committed to the good of his friends that he was willing to die for them. Even though Jesus' disciples were unreliable toward him, remember, they ran away, they even denied him, and yet Jesus was this faithful friend who laid down his life for them and for us. In laying down his life to pay for our sins, he took away the barrier to friendship between God and man. And what Jesus offers to all of us is his friendship. Friendship with Jesus, it's not a friendship of equals. It's not, "How about today we do what you want to do, Jesus, tomorrow I'll live the way I want to do it." No, we call him Lord, we obey him, but it is true friendship. Because Jesus said in that reading, he doesn't just order us around as his slaves. No, he lets us know what's on his heart. and he expresses his deep affection for us. And sometimes Jesus says hard things to us in his word, but he promises that he will never leave us. And so it's in knowing Jesus, the perfect friend, that our deepest needs are met. And it's actually out of that friendship with Jesus that we're empowered to enter friendships with others in a way that we're prepared to give rather than needing to receive. See, the truest friendship is not found in the way that we act toward Jesus or each other. The truest friendship is seen in how he acts towards us. Jesus is the one who truly sticks closer than a brother. So what about you? Do you know Jesus as friend? And actually, okay, some cultures like everyone to be equal, and so struggle with the idea of calling Jesus Lord. But then there's other cultures who love hierarchy. And so if Jesus is the Son of God, there's a struggle to relate to Jesus as friend. But this is how Jesus describes his relationship with us. He says, I've called you friends. And Jesus being the Son of God, is not limited in his capacity for friendship like we are. Jesus will never grow tired of us in his house. Jesus is the best friend you could ever know, and he's inviting you closer. Okay, let me finish off with some thoughts of what friendship should look like here in the church. Actually, as I was preparing this sermon on this topic, this is the part that surprised me. I thought, okay, I'll do a search in the New Testament for the word friend and what it says about friendship, and I'll pick something to talk about. But I was surprised that in the New Testament, after the resurrection of Jesus, there's not much teaching about friendship, at least the language of friendship, not in the general neighbourly sense of friendship. The first Christians did refer to each other affectionately. They did call each other beloved. And so there is this idea that we are friends, we're close friends. But in the New Testament, there's another layer on our friendship, something which the New Testament calls fellowship. So here's an example from the New Testament. 1 John 1:3, we proclaim to you what we've seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship literally means sharing, means partnership. It includes all of the things that make up good friendship. But fellowship is friendship with a mission. Friendship with a mission to know Christ and make him known. It's a friendship that partners with Jesus to welcome others in. Maybe picture for a moment. Imagine a group of people standing in a circle and facing each other. That's kind of friendship in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God's people were called to love each other as neighbors, to be good, faithful friends to each other. But in the New Testament, the picture's changed a little bit because we're not only looking inward to the people of God, but we're also looking out to the world and inviting them to become friends with Jesus too. And so instead of imagining a group of people standing in a circle, can you imagine a group of people standing in a horseshoe, like in a U shape? That's open at one end. They're friends with each other, but there's space for others to join in. That's a picture of who we're called to be. We're called to be a friendly community, to develop the affection and the trust that makes up friendship. and yet without becoming a closed clique who just exists to make each other comfortable. Now, okay, you look around, there's a lot of people in this building. We're not going to be able to be equally close to everybody in the church. Social research indicates there's actually, in our brains, there's actually a limit to how many people we can have meaningful social interactions with. And that's why, as well as our big gathering all together on Sunday, we also have our smaller growth groups during the week where we can go deeper with a smaller circle of people. But practically, there's this challenge of how do we stick by our current friends and yet also make space for others? Well, it's by doing mission together. Different people will do it in different ways. The extroverts here will be better at connecting with people quickly, but will have this tendency to spread thin and wide rather than deep. And then the introverts here will take a bit longer, but maybe have fewer friends at once, but will eventually be able to go deeper in friendship. That's why we need each other in mission. But here's just a practical idea. Let's say you're wanting to make friends with your neighbour or a person at uni or someone from church. You could just invite them over by themselves. But why not invite one of your close friends and invite your new friend together? And then this new friend gets to grow closer to two Christians, not just one. Friends, in a society that is longing for connection, can you see how we actually have something so significant to offer to our local community? I mean, first of all, we have the message to our community that Jesus is inviting them to come to him and to know him as the perfect friend, to know him as the one who loves, who has shown his love at the cross. But as well as our message about Jesus, we are in Jesus, a community called to make space for others to come in. On his mission, we seek to befriend others, respecting them and being real with them, speaking the truth and being reliable, being there in all kinds of circumstances. And, of course, we are far from perfect. I'm sure that there are still people in this room that are waiting for someone, maybe waiting for you to reach out to them in friendship. We're still learning how to be good friends, but we're learning together, and we're doing it in fellowship with Jesus, the greatest friend who has opened the way and who has showed us the way. Let's pray.